Just before you start listening to this podcast, a reminder that we have a special subscription offer. You can get 12 issues of The Spectator for £12, as well as a £20 Amazon voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher if you'd like to get this offer.
Welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, The Spectator's politics podcast. It's been a difficult week for Boris Johnson, to put it mildly. Every single gamble he's made seems to have failed. The decision to prorogue Parliament, nothing. The decision to chuck 21 Tory MPs out of the Parliament, nothing to show for that either. So how much trouble is he in and how can he recover from it? I'm Fraser Nelson and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth to discuss. So, James, we all know that this is a very high-risk strategy Boris is doing. He's going to win some, he's going to lose some. But is there anything at all, that really has gone his way so far?
I mean, there is a win, which is, as Katie laughs, but I mean, there is a win here, which is
smiling.
This. Which is, there is now a very clear dividing line in British politics, which is Boris Johnson wants to get Brexit. He will say at the election, Boris Johnson wants to get Brexit done and over with. Now, we can debate whether a no-deal Brexit is getting Brexit done or not. You know, obviously, there would have to be negotiations with the EU at some point. But in terms of electoral messaging, he will say, I want to get Brexit done, and this Parliament doesn't want to let me. Jeremy Corbyn and all these other MPs have ganged up to force this extension. So if you want Brexit done, the only way to do that is to give me a majority.
That's assuming, by the way, he gets to have a general
exactly.
Election.
Assuming he can get... Now, I think there will be an election at some point, whether it is before or after October 31st, obviously is an important factor. I think the things that have been unambiguously bad news for Number 10 this week, I think are twofold. One, I think they didn't expect that Labour would oppose an election. I think they thought that Labour would agree to an election and they would get their election on October the 15th. Yeah. So the fact that they are not going to get that election is a blow to them, because I think a lot of the strategy was based around that date.
Yeah.
And the other massive blow is Joe Johnson quitting the government. That is a blow for two reasons. One, because it cuts through with the public. It takes this story about Tory purges and gives it a very kind of human face. And I think the other reason it matters is anyone who watched Boris Johnson's performance yesterday, it clearly, as you would expect, it clearly hit Boris Johnson. It clearly threw him off his game. And any Tory strategy for winning a majority is heavily dependent on Boris Johnson's abilities as a campaigner. So if you end up in a situation where he's feeling down in the dumps, that's bad news for the Tories. I think those are the two things that have gone very wrong for them this week. I do have another kind of thought, though, which is I do sometimes wonder whether we are seeing this Westminster is seeing this differently from the country. Like, I hear all these clever tactics that are designed to force Boris Johnson to request the extension or this or that. I just wonder whether he could kind of escape them in a way by resigning, saying, I'm not seeking this extension. They won't let me have an election. They are doing everything they can to block it. The only way you bring this to an end is to vote for me.
So, Katie, I mean, just can we pause for a second and look at the decision to prorogue Parliament? That was his first major hardball decision taken on Wednesday last week. Now, I remember it being said at the time, and James, please correct me if I'm wrong here, that there was a meeting where Dominic Cummings spoke to special advisers, one of the very first meetings, where it was reported that he said to them, look, the MPs now cannot stop Brexit by the 31st of October. It is going to happen. And this was the key to the negotiation strategy with the EU, saying to the EU, look, forget the Parliament riding to your rescue. It now can't happen. And prorogation means it's practically impossible for it to happen. And yet it did. So I'm trying to work out, was the prorogation strategy, can we say it was a failure? And secondly, was there a miscalculation along the line? Somebody thought this would actually thwart the rebels. Instead, it seems to have emboldened them and, if anything, intensified the scale of the rebellion.
I think what's interesting when you're trying to analyse what's going on with Boris Johnson and his strategy is that there is this sense that Dominic Cummings, who is his most senior aide and has written multiple long blogs, many of which you can find on Coffeehouse, is a very clever guy who has thought about all scenarios. So you have a situation where I think if Theresa May had had the week that has just happened, everyone be saying this is the worst week Theresa May has had, you know, in her whole premiership, it's so chaotic. Whereas instead you have people saying, no, this is all about positioning. You don't quite understand what they're trying to do. And they almost kind of second guess what the consequence of each decision is. I think when you're looking at proroguing, the decision was made that it would mean that you would be able to put Parliament on its long recess, on its holiday, and at that point he would be able to have these discussions. And I do think there is a hope that they would be able to get to that prorogation date without having anyone tie their hands on no deal, right. And that would mean he could negotiate. I don't think they thought that was a definite, but I think the hope was the best case scenario is you get to the end of the week, prorogue on Monday, and then they haven't tied your hands on no deal. Now, people changed their efforts, but what it did do was, speaking to various Tory rebels, it meant that they felt that they couldn't give the government a couple of weeks. It felt they had to move this week, and it incentivised them. Now, I do think there is a point here, though, which is, in a way, what Boris Johnson and his team did was make the action happen now. Had they decided not to prorogue Parliament and the rebels given Boris Johnson 3 weeks to try and negotiate with Brussels, would Brussels have taken that seriously? I think the argument goes, if the rebels were saying, we're giving him 3 weeks, then we're going to try and legislate against no deal, that's exactly the same situation Theresa May repeatedly found herself in, saying, give me time to negotiate, and then there's some time for you to still try and stop no deal. So I think a calculation was made that if this confrontation was going to happen, it was better to have it happen as soon as possible than to have several weeks of trying to do things where Brussels still didn't take number 10 seriously on not being able to prevent no deal. So I don't think it's gone as number 10 had hoped.
It's a bit
muddy. But I do think that there is a sense that if you are going to have this almighty clash, which has been brewing for months, years under Theresa May on Brexit with this parliament, bring it to a head now rather than have this run on longer. Sure.
And James, the story that you revealed last Saturday, that they were going to remove the whip and effectively sack Tory MPs who defied them on the Brexit vote, who voted for Parliament to take over the agenda, that was obviously intended to deter, right?
I think they hoped it might deter, but I don't think they thought it would. I think what it's really about is about who can stand for the Tory party at the next election.
Right, so what the objective of it was, deterrence would have been a helpful side effect, yeah. But the main objective was to make sure if there was an election, there wouldn't be all of these guys trying to destabilise the premise.
They hoped, but didn't calculate. Mm. They hoped it would keep some from doing it, enough from doing it for them to win. That didn't happen. I don't mean they were confident about strategy, but what it was really about was about stopping them from standing for the Tory party in the next election. Because one of the things that number 10 did not want to see happen is no one thinks that the Tory party is going to win a blowout majority in any election.
Mm.
If you look at these numbers, and admittedly some of these MPs are standing down, there's every chance that Boris Johnson could have returned a majority of 30 or 40, which would be an incredibly good result for them from where they are now.
Yep.
And end up in exactly the same position he's in today.
Yep.
Because it would turn out that 20 to 30 of his MPs were opposed to his Brexit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. This is about ensuring that if the Tory party can, and this would be a very good result from where they are now, can come back with a majority of one. That is a majority of one. That isn't actually, well, when you factor off the number of people who don't agree with him on Brexit, it's smaller. This was what it was about. It was about ensuring that every Tory MP who is returned in the new parliament is signed up to his Brexit policy.
All right. Now, Katie, this week, bad, right? As bad as it pretty much gets in British politics. The Prime Minister has lost his majority, he's lost control of Parliament. It doesn't even see if he can break free from parliamentary trap right now. He's there's all sorts of strange mechanisms by which you'd have to deploy to cover general election, perhaps even a no-confidence motion in himself. But let's say he does get to this stage. Then the upside for him is that the opinion polls are reasonable for the Conservatives. They were on about 20% in the polls before he took over. Now they're about 35. There is a clear gap, a 13-point lead, between Labour and the Tories right now. And they're even moving up, not very much, but a little bit, in Scotland, where there is a gap with the Labour Party, which means that the Tories in Scotland would have a reasonable chance of playing the unionist card. So can we see this strategy, while failing in parliamentary terms, succeeding in national terms by underlining to Brexit-minded voters that Boris Johnson is really serious about Brexit? Because if you are a Brexit Party voter, I can't quite work out what more you could realistically ask of Boris Johnson than what he's done this week. So do you think that everything here, which while it led to parliamentary failure, might accelerate his support in the country?
I think that's the intention. I think everything Boris Johnson has done since becoming Prime Minister has been about the perception to the general public and pitching to the general public, not about MPs or what's happening in the House of Commons. Some work with Tory MPs, but there's been no effort to, you know, try and bring Philip Hammond on side. That's not what this government is about. There's just been this awareness that there is an election imminent and they need to do everything possible to make the most of the time they had in government to set out their domestic priorities and to pitch themselves as the party of Leave to hammer that Brexit message home. So you saw it yesterday in the strange speech from Boris Johnson, I think, to be kind, where he did seem to be not on his best game. And he talked about how he'd rather die in a ditch than request an extension.
That was the one takeaway line, wasn't it?
Yes.
Die in a ditch. In other words, I am prepared to go to the cross for this if needs be.
That was the one takeaway line. The takeaway image, putting aside the fact that one of the police officers wasn't very well during it, was the fact that he was stood firm with all these police officers behind him. And it was, again, playing into this idea that they want to push, which is the Conservative Party is the party of law and order. And so I think those are the two probably things they're trying to get from that. But it's all about doing this. I think that even though I do think things have gone on the worst end of the scale of what could have happened in terms of their plans this week, they're still managing to land this idea that he is the one trying to get Brexit done. I think the potential problem, though, is does the Prime Minister look ineffective and weak in some ways as a leader?
Basically. Incompetent. There's somebody perhaps who might want it but can't actually deliver it.
Does he start to look like a weak leader who can't get things done in the House of Commons because of a failure of his own actions? Or does he just look like they are all so against him that he is a true voice? And I think you have a slight issue when things start to look too on the shambolic side. I think there's a risk that you begin to look like as though you actually are just not capable of it. And I think it's something the Brexit Party could potentially latch onto. And I also think that if he has to do what James is talking about, which is the only way to avoid asking for an extension, is Boris Johnson has to resign. Now, you can clearly play that as people versus parliament, but you can also have opposition parties turn around and say, you quit. Do you know what I mean? There are things that you can do to weaponize it on both sides. So I think it is working in terms of that optic, but I do think the fact that it's got quite messy this week means that there is a bit of a grey area which I think other people could latch onto.
And James, finally, I'm wondering what this weekend could bring, and I'm wondering how many more Joe Johnsons there are out there. That is to say, MPs who did vote with the government, who weren't fired, but nonetheless are looking at all of this and thinking, I just can't go through with this. Now, Joe Johnson hasn't said that much about what drove him to his decision. In fact, he's been praising the Prime Minister's One Nation domestic agenda. But I wonder if we're going to get other ones who are thinking, you know what, I'm not going to stand in this election. I just cannot sign up. It's got too violent in Westminster. And I just don't have a stomach for what's about to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that Boris Johnson needs to do when he's back from Balmoral, he needs to stroke the cabinet a bit. There is genuine concern in the cabinet about some of the decisions. You know, when you have the former chief whip, Julian Smith, basically querying the decision to take the whip away from all of these people in the way that he did in political cabinet, I think that is a concern. You know, these are not people you can easily dismiss. You have Amber Rudd on Katie's podcast saying very similar things.
Yeah.
These are big figures expressing concern, and that number 10 need to, you know, show them some love, take care of them a bit. I think the other thing number 10 needs to do to steady the ship is reassure people on the electoral strategy. I think people want some more. So, I mean, I say in the magazine this week, you know, one of the dangers of this electoral strategy is at the moment it's very easy to name the seats that the Tories are going to lose. Mm-hmm. They've got to, number 10 have got to do more to show not only the seats that they're going to gain to make up for this, which I think people have a rough idea of, but the extra seats on top of that, they're going to gain that will put them over the top, give them a majority, and liberate them from this hung parliament, you know, which is, this election has got to do that, because the point about this election, and one of the reasons why it's such a gamble, is a draw is a loss for the Tories. If the Tories come back as the largest party, but combined with the DUP short of a majority, They are in the same place, or they're in a worse place than they are now. They have to win. That's why it is so high stakes. I mean, just being the largest party with the largest share of the vote is not good enough for them in this election.
James and Katie, thanks very much indeed. Now, you'd be very welcome to join us at the Emmanuel Centre. We're having a discussion on Can Boris Do It? That's in Westminster in a couple of weeks' time. You can get tickets and details on spectator.co.uk/Boris. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our producer, Cindy Yu.